Shalom, and welcome to the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations Weekly Torah Commentary Series. I'm Rachel Wolf from Congregation Beth Messiah in Cincinnati, Ohio. This week, we're discussing Parashat Va'era. Our main texts are Exodus 6:9 and 8:1 and Isaiah 51:16. I have put my words in your mouth, speaking the faithfulness of God to our people. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. That's from Exodus 4:12. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. That's Exodus 8:1. And Isaiah 51:16 says this very interesting thing. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand to plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people. This week's portion, Va'era, which means I appeared, dramatically documents the series of confrontations between Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron, as well as the first seven plagues. Moses knew the heart of Pharaoh and doubted the success of God's plan. That's from 6:12. But God had commanded him to speak these words. God had put these words in his mouth. Let my people go so that they may serve me. As we shall see, in Exodus 6, Moses is told to deliver the good news, God's message of deliverance, to the enslaved Israelites. Moses is told to say to Zion, you are my people. In doing so, Moses is, quote, planting the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth. That's again from Isaiah 51:16. We're going to talk about four things. One, the purpose and meaning of the Exodus. Two, freedom and servitude. Three, the inability of the Israelites to hear Moses' good news. And four, how all this relates to our Messianic Jewish vision and mission. Number one, the purpose and meaning of the Exodus from Egypt. At the end of last week's portion, when all the Israelites turn against him, Moses says to God, basically, I told you this wouldn't work. You see that in Exodus 5:22-23. But God remains unperturbed. He explains to Moses in Exodus 6:1-8 that it is all part of the plan. God makes two points regarding this plan. First, he talks about the fulfillment of the covenant. The plan of God at this point in history is to restart, reactivate the action toward the fulfillment of God's covenant with the sons of Jacob. And that is, go to the land I will show you. We know this because God explains the plan to Moses by reviewing the history of the covenant, mentioning each of the fathers by name. He does not say, this is about freedom, or this is a metaphor for coming out of sin into the atonement in Jesus. He summarizes his talk with Moses this way, and I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as an inheritance. That's in 6:8. This inheritance is not merely for land. It is an essential stage in God's eternal plan to set up his tent, his tabernacle, to actually dwell with us on the earth, on Har Zion, Jerusalem. And then God says, or talks about this idea, gotta serve somebody. First stop, Sinai. God's words that he puts into Moses' mouth are, let my people go to serve me in the wilderness, not so that they can be free. They are to serve the true God. They are not to serve the gods of the Egyptians. Number two, concerning freedom and servitude. The Israelites are God's people. They are not to serve another. In fulfilling the eternal covenant, the Israelites need to know who they are and whom they serve. Human beings, especially in the West after the Enlightenment, have cultivated the illusion that something somehow called freedom is the elixir for happiness. This is not completely wrong. We do need freedom. But while we are created with free will and the ability to choose, especially to choose our actions, there are also invisible forces that bend each of us towards serving one of the sides in the raging war for sovereignty over the earth. The Shema, when seen in context, is stating that Hashem is the only true God and that Israel must serve only their God. There are lots of other gods, including men who make themselves into gods, but Israel must serve only the true God who calls himself by their name. But the great paradox is this: to serve God takes freedom. In the scriptures, you will always come up against a paradox if you study deeply enough, because God's ways are higher than our ways. A paradox is something that is intuitively true, even though it may fail to follow strict rules of logic. The enemy of our souls enslaves us, often against our will. But we need freedom of spirit and will to serve the living God. Gifted individuals throughout history have been able to muster their freedom of spirit even under the harshest slavery. These include the likes of Viktor Frankl during the Holocaust and Alexander Solzhenitsyn in the Gulag. But most people can utterly lose hope in these hopeless situations. Number 3, the inability to hear good news and to choose. We need at least a degree of freedom in our spirit to be able to serve the living God. When we are forced into bitter slavery to another God, whether Pharaoh or any other man or program, it can become difficult to muster the strength to make choices. The ability to choose takes a freedom of spirit that allows for even a small degree of hope. When hope is gone, the human spirit gives up and often can no longer choose to serve the living God. This is what happened to the Israelites, as we read in our parsha. God commands Moses to deliver this message to the Israelites: "And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as a heritage. I am the Lord." So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they could not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. That's Exodus 6:9. They had no hope left. They were thoroughly heartbroken. Egypt had taken not only their outer freedom, but their freedom of spirit, their hope. Number 4, how does all this relate to our Messianic Jewish vision and mission in the 21st century? Again, from Isaiah 51:16, "I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, to plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people." We are called to be a part of fulfilling the purpose of creation by reawakening the Jewish people by believing and proclaiming God's words: "You are my people. Behold, your God reigns." Speak support and encouragement. Bring freedom of spirit and hope to awaken the ability of our people to serve the living God. Joseph, who in many ways prophetically represents the Messiah, sent away all of the Egyptians when he knew it was time to reveal himself to his brothers. This was a heart-to-heart meeting between him and his brothers alone. It is not for us to convince, but we are called to facilitate and perhaps to hasten this special Joseph-like reunion between Yeshua and his family. Our mission is to counter the enemy's plan to deeply plant anguish of heart into the Jewish people in order to sap the strength of their soul so that they can't believe the good news of God's promised salvation from our enemies. "You are my people. Your God reigns." Many Jewish people today are too realistic and modern to believe the old stories about the holy God coming to earth to set things right and to actually dwell with us reigning from Mount Zion. We can plant this in their hearts. Yeshua, the revealer of the Father. But somehow Yeshua, like Joseph, reveals the reality of the spiritual realm and the faithfulness of God's word through our own prophets. In the New Testament, Luke records the seminal prophecy of Zechariah, Yochanan's father. If you read the text as the apostles understood it, you will see a deep connection between Zechariah's words and the words of the prophets of Israel. You will also see the clear connection between Yeshua's mission and the archetypal events of the Exodus. Look especially at Luke 1:72-74. Quote, "To grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." Now Yochanan's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." And also check out Psalm 106:10 that relates to this. But back to Luke, "To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant," Exodus 6, "the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives." If we today speak the words of the prophets with grounded faith and deep compassion, these words will plant the heavens and lay foundations on the earth as we assure the Jewish community of Hashem's faithfulness. You are my people. This is Rachel Wolf signing off and wishing you Shabbat Shalom. For more commentaries like this one, visit umjc.org/commentaries.